to Taiwan Mobile Conference Call. Our chairperson today is Harvey Chan. And Mr. Chan, please be in your call. I will be standing by for question and answer session. Thank you.
Hi, welcome to our first quarter conference call. And I'm going to start with a very brief presentation and then give you our forecast and as well as an update. Before I started my presentation, I have to direct your attention to the following statement that the information containing this presentation, including all forward-looking information, is subject to change without notice, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. And Taiwan Mobile Company Limited undertakes no obligation to update or revise the information contained in this presentation. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of the information contained herein. Nor is the information intended to be a complete statement of the company, market, or developments referred to in this presentation. With that, and I'm going to start to talk a little bit about our first quarter results. For our first quarter 2009, you can see that our revenue number is roughly 16.8 billion, and which primarily means that we met our first quarter guidance, not only in terms of revenue, and actually also in terms of operating income, and then also on the net income, we are slightly short, primarily because there were some non-operating items, and these are some of the write-offs that they occurred a little bit earlier than we expected. And we're able to meet our performance primarily due to a better than expected HPG performance and also higher handset sales, which compensate for telecom revenue drop. Despite the revenue pressure, our first quarter EBITDA achieved the guidance due primarily to marketing expense savings, our selling expenses plus mobile device subsidies netted 17.7% of total revenue in first quarter 2009, which is a reduction from the 18.71% reduction in fourth quarter of the last year. On the non-operating front, due to the network consolidation, and the completeness was a little bit ahead of the schedule, so our asset write-off exceeded our guidance. This is basically what we have for the first quarter. So, briefly described, you can say it's a reasonable quarter that's for them. And then if you go to the next page, which gives you a little bit breakdown of our performance of different business groups. Our first quarter revenue growth in enterprise business and household business their growth are not able to offset the revenue decline from the consumer business group. So our consolidated revenue decreased roughly 2% from a year ago. On the profitability front, our consumer business group year-over-year decline in EBITDA mainly reflected lower service revenue as cash network costs and operating expenses were cut from a year ago. And our enterprise EBITDA in the first quarter did not increase along with the growth in revenue because we had higher percentage of revenue coming from lower margin products such as ISR. As to the household business, that it showed a healthy 6% year-over-year growth in EBITDA, and due to the consumer spending on cable TV and broadband, it was not negatively affected by the financial turmoil. And on the next page, that we will give you a comparison with our peers. As you can see that our mobile subscriber number grew 1.9% on a year-over-year basis, largely from the 100,000 data card subscriber addition. Compared to our closest competitor, we stood out in terms of mobile EBITDA, EBITDA margin, and the total subscriber number. And then on the next page, which talk about the value-added services and the 3G. Taiwan Mobile's value-added revenue grew 22% in first quarter, and it is the most visible among the three major operators. This is primarily aided by the 68% revenue increase in mobile internet. The strong growth in mobile internet revenue was a combined result of strong growth in the data card subscribers, as well as more mobile users. Now they are adopting a data price plan. And as to our 3G, our 3G postpaid subscriber number in first quarter 2009 have exceeded the 2.5 million, which is up of 78% on a year-over-year basis. And our 3G data revenue was up 1.6 times from a year ago. Then on the next page, which is the balance sheet, and I will turn the mic over to Rosie.
Good afternoon. I'm going to talk about balance sheet. The first quarter cash level rose sequentially from the previous quarter on the back of stable operating cash inflows. Net PP&E balance at the end of first quarter was down by about $1 billion from fourth quarter, as our 2G assets write-offs and depreciation charges were higher than the new 3G equipment purchase in the quarter. The 2G's net book value was $19.7 billion as of the end of the first quarter, while that for 3G rose to $12.2 billion. On the liability side, our gross debt reduced to $16 billion from $20.7 billion a quarter ago as a result of paying down $5.2 billion of syndicate loans. Now let's turn to cash flow analysis. Our operating cash flow remained stable in the first quarter. The first quarter investing activity cash outlay was mainly for the $1.5 billion of cash capex. 83 3G base stations were added in the first quarter, and close to 100% of our 3G stations are HSDPA enabled. In terms of financing activities, we repaid syndicate loan of $5.2 billion, as I just mentioned, and increased short-term borrowings by half a billion. About $0.3 billion cash inflows were from selling treasury shares to employees in the first quarter. Treasury shares balance amounted to 829 million shares as of the end of the first quarter. So let me now turn this back over to Harvey for the second quarter forecast.
For our second quarter, we forecast the mobile service and the cable TV revenue to rise subsequently in second quarter 2009. Which contained the SAC per subscriber, the quarter-over-quarter rise in selling expense of our forecast is largely to reflect stronger gross add of wireless data and the planned marketing campaigns. The sequential pickup in EBITDA is expected to help stem the decline in profits. We will try to maintain discipline over spending as implemented in the first quarter 2009. And then let me give you a very quick event update. First is on the earnings distributions. In March, we had a board meeting on March 5th, and our board has approved a proposal to distribute 14 billion NT out of our retained earnings as cash dividends to shareholders. Dividend per share will be NT dollar $4.70 based on the shares count of 2.97 billion. This is net of treasury shares held by our subsidiaries and the shares bought from the market. And then for our new product and services, we are ahead of the pack and we launched our own brand netbooks early this year, and we are providing the best mobile broadband services to our customers. And then also we are planning to introduce the digital TV service in our cable TV operating area in Taipei County in the month of June. And most likely the other regions that we also are operating in the month of September. And also I think we have some more news in terms of the award we got that early this year, that we were awarded the 5th the Corporate Governance Asia Recognition Award in Asia Pacific region by the Corporate Governance Asia magazine. This is the third year in a row. We receive an IT Best Choice Award from the local very prestigious institutions. It's the Institute for Information Industry in three categories. And we were also awarded by the Commonwealth magazine in corporate social responsibility, excellence in corporate social responsibility. For this is also the third year in a row that we received that award. We are one of the 10 companies that received that award. And then we also received 7 commendations from NCC, and which we have the most among our peers for the effort of bridging digital gap in some of the remote areas in Taiwan. On the regulatory front, that on March 18th, NCC announced to require SOs to provide performance guarantee on the advance receipt from cable TV customers. This new regulation is expected to take effect in starting next year, but this is not really very significant. So our key message that for this quarter are the follows: that although we are continue facing the worldwide financial turmoil and depressed the economy, and due to the weakness of the economy as a reflection that we inevitably we posted a decline in EBITDA first quarter. However, we are still able to meet our guidance. And looking ahead, the economic outlook remains bleak, and however, Taiwan Mobile will strive to sustain our EBITDA level in line with guidance to maintain our shareholder returns. And with that, I think we'll be happy to take your questions.
We can start our Q&A session.
Thank you. We will now poll for questions. If you wish to register for a question, please press the number 1 key on your telephone touchpad. Our first question is come from Anna from Citigroup in Hong Kong.
Yes, hi. Good evening. Thank you for the call. This is Anand Ramachandran calling from Citigroup in Hong Kong. I had two questions. Firstly, and I guess you'd probably expect this, I was wondering if what your perspective was into the China Mobile investment into Far EasTone yesterday. And as a second part to that question, how do you see that impacting Taiwan Mobile at all, either in terms of opportunity or in terms of threats on a 12-month view? So that's question number one. Question two, you have indicated second quarter estimates. Can I take that to mean that the full year estimates that you gave out back with the fourth quarter results for 2009, those still stay the way they are? Those stay unchanged? Thank you.
And I'm going to answer your first question. I'll let Rosie answer your second question. It is a surprise to us that to see that announcement made both by Far EasTone as well as by China Mobile. And, however, you know, first of all, I think that they still have to meet some regulatory challenges. And I think right now, our understanding that this might not meet the compliance standards. And secondly, from the limited information we have, that we do not see that much of an impact that on the competitive landscape in Taiwan.
I mean, how, if I could follow up on that, is it, I mean, I don't know if this is answerable, were you involved in any discussion with any Chinese telcos at any point in time at all?
Excuse me, Bill. I have not spoken to anybody from China Mobile for maybe a year, I don't know, just for quite a long time.
Okay.
And Anand, to answer your second question, our original guidance still holds.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Kim Stalway of JP Morgan.
Sorry, at JP Morgan. Just a question on CapEx. And given the trends you indicated earlier on the success of products like the mobile internet, netbook, these are obviously more bandwidth hungry stories, and I'm just curious about your thoughts on CapEx in light of the need to continue to provide more and more capacity for those types of services, and how you see the match between perhaps the economic environment encouraging you to curtail CapEx, but the demand environment from consumers on these data services to require investments to remain high, if not increasing.
We have already trimmed down our CapEx from 8.4 billion last year to 6.9 billion, and currently we have slightly reduced it down to 6.5 billion. So that has already reflected our determination to cope with financial or weakness in the economy.
And you're not worried that you know, the increase in demand as the supply of more and more affordable netbook and smartphone products from electronic vendors, you know, will make it possible for people to be using more and more mobile internet applications, that you might be underinvesting, say over the next 1 or 2 years in that context of the lower CapEx you're now looking at?
No, we don't think that will cause that effect.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. The second question, just a follow-up on the announcement yesterday between China Mobile and Far EasTone. You know, what's obviously also interesting is the money that Far EasTone is getting. They have basically indicated it's going to be earmarked in a in a sort of venture capital approach to investing in perhaps internet-related companies and content companies, perhaps in Taiwan, but more likely in China. And I'm just curious, you know, assuming this goes forward, on the one hand, the possibility of you having a Chinese strategic partner is there, you know, but on the other hand, the other interesting thing that I'd love to get your insight on is whether or not you think there's a story to be focusing more on investing in kind of the value-added sort of services chain, similar to what Far Eastone's talking about now, and perhaps more similar to what Telstra has already done with the internet investments they've made in China over the last year or two. Any comments on that kind of strategy?
Well, I wish them all the best of luck.
Okay. It's not something that's interesting. Taiwan Mobile just wants to stick to being a mobile operator in Taiwan. Is that basically what I should take away from
that? No, that's not what you should take away. I only said that I will wish them to be the best of luck. That's all I said. We had a small operation in Beijing already, I think, for a couple of years. And, we did not sort of give up the China market. But making investments in China is a challenge. I don't think that you people will be pleased that we tell you that we're going to set aside $20 billion for making investments in all these.
Okay, I understand perfectly. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Next question comes from Arthur of RBS.
Hi, thanks for the call. I have two questions. Firstly, with regard to the asset write-down, just for clarification, is this merely a front-loading of your full-year guidance, or will this mean an increase going forward? Second question I have is with regard to your 2Q09 guidance. It seems to me that Taiwan Mobile is quite unique in saying it's posting sequential earnings growth and margin expansion. What do you think will allow you to do this, and what are you doing differently from your peers in order to achieve this?
To answer your first question, we don't think our write-off amount for the full year will exceed our guidance. That's based on our current estimate. As to your second question, I think our focus is mainly on the EBITDA. So we, as Harvey mentioned earlier, that we will try to exercise discipline over spending in the second quarter as implemented in the first quarter to achieve the goal.
And you don't feel that there will be competitive pressures out there which will actually require you to spend more going forward as compared to the first quarter levels?
Well, the competition is a very dynamic game. Given what we have seen so far, we think that we are giving a reasonable estimate. Well, come on, it's only 2.5 months away. You know, we are not telling you this is going to happen 3 years later. So whether this is going to come true or not, you will know very shortly. So I don't think you have that much to worry about. We announce our monthly results every month.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Cathy Chen of Goldman Sachs.
Hi, thanks for the call. I have sort of a two-part question related to the cable business. Firstly, can you talk a bit more about the digital TV rollout and what impact on financials that will have, including color on, you know, what the pricing looks like compared to the basic analog cable, and then what kind of set-top box subsidies are being provided? Secondly, regarding some recent news flow that NCC may establish rules requiring channel operators to provide the same program on both cable and Chunghwa's MOD platform, what is your view on this potential impact to your cable business as well as to the overall cable industry? Thanks.
see that digital TV rollout, I think, is a new attempt. And I think that each of the MSOs are now in the process of lining up their content. And we don't want to be behind, so we also want to join the crowd. But the initial subscription, I think, maybe 10,000-20,000 subscribers, I think, in the first 3 to 6 months. It's not a whole lot, so financially, I really don't see any significant impact one way or another. As to the PRC companies in making investments in here in Taiwan in the area of cable TV, I think it will take a while. I think it's not going to be that easy. Again, I think there will be some regulatory constraints. So for the time being, I really don't worry that much about it. On the other hand, by the time I think that if they are really able to come in to make an investment, maybe it also presents some opportunities for us. But right now, that is not our focus.
Okay, actually, sorry, just to clarify, my second question was actually related to some recent news flow where NCC is looking to establish rules where the content has to be the same on both the cable TV platform as well as Chunghwa's IPTV platform.
Kathy, could you please clarify your question?
It was basically just some news flow saying that the NCC, in response to, I guess, customer complaints that the content on Chunghwa's MOD platform is different from what's being offered on the cable side. I think NCC made some statements saying that they may establish a rule where the content has to be the same or something along those lines.
I never heard that before. I think that's... I don't think that NCC would want to get involved in that.
Okay. Actually, sir, can I just ask a follow-up on the first part? So just to clarify, for digital offerings now, is the ARPU also capped, or do you have, like, a la carte packages you can offer? And then is it still the first set-top box is being fully subsidized?
No, it will not be fully subsidized. I think that... right now, the digital content is treated as value-added services of the cable TV. So there will be additional charges on that. There will be additional revenues, I think, from the digital content. And we are in no position to offer that for free or to subsidize that heavily.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you once again. If you wish to register for a question, please press the number 1 key on the telephone touchpad. Excuse me, Mr. Zhang, there's no further question at this point in time.
Okay. Thank you all very much for attending this call. We will talk to you again next quarter. Have a very good afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. This concludes your conference. Thank you.